But here, on the very rim of known space, justice is a long way away.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian. Joining me, as always, are the construction people outside. Hopefully you can't hear that too much, but they're still here. Apologies. I'll try and mute myself when I'm not talking. Also joining me is your co-host, Spaz.
How many Cardassians, how many Cardassians does it take to screw in a light bulb? The answer depends on how many lights you see.
I was going to say...
Three!
I was going to say as many as Gul Dukat tells me to... your co-host, Julie?
Hello from the Midwest, or as I understand, there's an argument, Mid-North... West. If that's you need thing, me,
that's a thing.
I'll be in the Shire all day long after this because
Did that come out? Yeah,
Is it good? Don't listen to any of the. Oh my god, the graphics are terrible. The graphics are terrible. I enjoy it. It's a great game. If you're looking for a cozy game, you want to spend your day in the Shire. It's great.
The Shire. Ignore the rest. Well, the Shire is my favorite part of Lord of the Rings Online, so I definitely have my eye on this one. Once it gets a little deeper.
It's enjoyable if you buy it online. I did yesterday. It only cost me $31.
Oh, that's not bad.
It was the best of Shires. It was the worst of Shires.
God damn it! Joining us is your co-host Thorsten.
Hey, Thorsten. Yeah, hello. Sitting directly beneath Brian because I've got other construction workers nearby. I hope the mic didn't pick anything up.
I'm not hearing a damn thing, so that's pretty good. And finally, your co-host Jacob.
I am the law. Sorry. For the record, chat. I am currently recovering from a dentist appointment, and that is why I'm currently doing my best alone, because half my face doesn't work.
Well, I always think of that bit from The West Wing where the PR person, she has an emergency root canal, and so someone else has to do her press conference, and she comes back, and all she could do is a sweet plan to fight inflation, because she's talking like Elmer Fudd, because she's full of her mouth's full of cotton.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And this, thank you. Hey, Chris, this was your idea. We're talking about mods today. Now, folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, I mean, you have to know what we're talking about because you're listening to this show. But if you don't know what we're talking about, let's be specific. Mods are short for modifications. Basically, they can do all sorts of things to a game, from changing the physics to changing the graphics to adding content no, it wasn't Elmer Fudd. This is CJ Craig from The West Wing doing her best Elmer Fudd impersonation. So mods are, when did mods start being a thing? Is that it was the 90s, right? Like it's been a thing for a long time.
Possibly earlier. Like if we're talking Doom, if we're talking like Doom mapping and the
90s.
I'm willing to argue earlier.
Yeah,
early 90s. I remember playing Aliens. No. I remember playing an Aliens Total Conversion for the first Doom in maybe 93 or 94. And you're walking around with the power loader, you know, and just ripping. Oh, my God. It was amazing. That was probably my first exposure to modding was probably Doom. Yeah, I don't think any game was really modded back. I mean, maybe there were some mods for Wolfenstein, but I don't think so. I think it was.
I'm currently writing it in the chat.
Oh, okay. So even before Doom, there were. Okay. I guess that's
the point being very old.
Yeah. A long time. Probably at least Wolfenstein. Probably. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes back even further than that. But we're not talking about making maps or anything. We're talking about things that can, you know, change the very nature of the game. And there are a lot of great ones. There are so many good ones that do all sorts of things. Just go to the Nexus, the mod Nexus, and or just about any game that has a workshop on Steam. And dear Lord, you will find so many great mods. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite mods today. I thought we'd focus on because that gives us focus. Obviously, I mean, none of us are programmers, so we can't get really into the technicalities of what makes a mod, and every game is different. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to cheat a little. I'm going to start with the entirety of the Free Space 2 mod community, primarily through the Gnosis launcher. If you don't know what I'm talking about, for example, on the stream here, this is a mod called Diaspora, which is modeled after the 2004 version of Battlestar Galactica. And sadly, this mod is not complete. It's never been finished. So it's relatively light on content. If you want a really good Battlestar Galactica game, you need to get the PS2 / original Xbox version that came out in 2003. That game's amazing.
But this is also good.
Yeah, no, this is also excellent, but it's not complete. Like, a lot of mods are a complete experience, but this one is not. But I thought this would be at a glance like, oh my God, that's Battlestar Galactica. This mod is amazing. And Free Space 2 has so many, like, Blue Planet, and like, which is like essentially a Free Space 3, you know, and there are dozens and dozens of good mods you can get for Free Space 2. You can play Free Space 1 in the Free Space 2 engine.
Hello?
For example. What? What?
Oh, we lost Brian.
You did? What? I'm right here.
That's a first.
What?
Yeah, that's really good first.
Wait, what's going on? You guys can't hear me?
Uh-oh.
What's going on? Uh-oh. Oh.
Dear Brian, your internet died.
We lost you.
We lost you. That was the first.
Am I back?
You're back?
Yes.
You're back.
Okay, well, OBS apparently disconnected and reconnected, so yay. Sorry about that.
Repeat everything you said in the last 30 seconds.
Something about Free Space 2 is an amazing selection of mods through the Gnosis launcher, from things like Blue Planet, which is essentially Free Space 3, all kinds of single missions, all kinds of campaigns, all kinds of things that like there's several anime focused campaigns that change the entire graphics of the game. Like for me, like, this is the pinnacle of modding is the Free Space 2 community. I tell people, when you're buying Free Space 2, you're not just buying the best space dogfighter of the last almost 30 years. You're buying a platform for so many mods. This is a desert island game if you have an internet connection, because jeezy Christ, there's so many mods for this one. So it's kind of a cheat, but I couldn't not mention, because Free Space 2 is one of my favorite games, the amazing mod community that surrounds Free Space 2. That it's very easy to get to with the Gnosis launcher. I mean, you buy Free Space 2 on GOG, you get the Gnosis launcher, tell it where Free Space 2 is, and suddenly you have updated graphics. You can use a multi-device HOTAS with force feedback support, track IR, I believe it has, multiplayer, all because of the mods for this game. And it just keeps going. It just keeps getting better. So thank God someone released the source code for this thing back in the early 2000s. So that is my first, pick is the amazing, amazing, amazing mod. There are a lot of good Civ 4 mods. Fall from Heaven 2 is maybe one of the finest Fantasy 4X games ever. And it's a mod for Civilization 4, Beyond the Sword, I believe. And that's an amazing one. So Civ 4 is a good example also. So Spaz, you got one to mention?
Oh yeah. My being here would not be complete without mentioning the multiverse mod for FPL.
Yeah.
Of course you knew. Of course you knew I'd have to go here. Yeah.
As soon as you start talking, I'm like, of course he's going to mention that one. Of course. Because it's astounding. It's astounding. I could back that up. It is an astounding. And I don't use that word lightly, mod. Go ahead, Spence.
So the mod requires a couple of things to work, and it requires a little bit of work to get it going. But once you do and you follow the instructions properly, you have a mod that adds hundreds of ships to the game that you can unlock and play as. So you have lots of races, sub-races that are added. So you have variants on races that do certain things better than the others. You have all sorts of new events, weapons. The multiverse mod for FTL is probably the mod if you're talking about FTL, because it changes the game so much. I cannot recommend it highly enough. I've recommended it many, many times on this podcast.
Yeah, how many hours do you have in it in FTL because of this mod?
Oh, let's see. As of right now, over 800 hours.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, FTL has some legs to it, but 800 hours?
I had about 150 hours in FTL before I installed the mod.
Right. Like vanilla FTL, you know, does have, you know, some really good legs to it, but you add this mod and it just adds so much. My God. it's amazing. I can totally back you up on this one. An amazing, amazing mod. So, Thirsty, can I share what you just wrote in our private chat? Because it's really funny. Can I share that? Really,
of course, of course.
So last night, as we record this, a huge earthquake, probably the biggest one, I think, since 2011, they said, like 8.8, hit the coast of, was off the coast of Russia. And so there's tsunami warnings all over the place. Like Hawaii got hit with some pretty high waves. Nothing super damaging, thankfully. But we were under a tsunami warning here in California. And so Thorsten was like, when my internet went out, he was concerned that the tsunami was bigger than predicted. I'm surprised there hasn't been.
If it was, it would have happened about 11 hours ago.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah, but still funny.
Still, if you know a bit about geology, everything is possible.
Right, that's true. Quick tangent. Has there been a disaster movie focused on tsunamis? Like, I know we've had volcanoes and asteroids and things like that, but I don't know.
I don't remember what it's called.
Yes,
absolutely. Oh, there is one? Okay.
Whole world flooded.
Oh, you mean, was that The Day After Tomorrow, that one? Or...
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, it's one where the whole world flooded.
Or 2012? I don't know.
Maybe. One of those. Well, 2012 is one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that had tsunamis as an element, I think, but it wasn't like the movie's called Tsunami, you know, or whatever. You know?
No. There's the one that was about the one that happened on outside of Thailand when that got hit. I think that was 2005 or 2006, but that particular tsunami was one of that was also a result of one of the top 10 earthquakes that have been recorded.
Right, I remember.
And the one that just happened yesterday was also in the top 10. I believe it's now tied for top 5 or 6 at this point.
Well, you know, one of the things that can happen, like when our town flooded, the water didn't hit us, but it took the infrastructure out for a week.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, I'll have to look that one up. Yeah, okay, so there is a movie about a tsunami in Thailand from the aughts.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I was wondering, like, there's got to be at least one disaster. I love a good disaster movie. And yeah, I was like, there's gotta be a tsunami one. All right. Sorry. Side note. But yeah, folks, multiverse mod for FTL. It, like, if I can install it, it took like 5 minutes for me to install. It's like 5-10. It's a very simple installation. If I could do it, I'm going to admit one thing about it though. When I started playing, I'm like, it's a a little overwhelming. There's a lot. I was a little like, oh my God, what do I do? But
that's kind of the point though.
But yeah, that's a feature.
There is so
that's
much.
A feature. That's a feature. And just because it overwhelmed, I'm easily overwhelmed. So it's not a knock. I'm just saying I was overwhelmed, but Multiverse Mod, astounding. Just a triumph of modding, especially for an already really amazing game like FTL. So yeah, that one's great. All right. Jewel, you got one?
Yes, I do. I've done a little bit of modding myself. The Bethesda games makes it really easy to mod because the games, because they publish their own modding tools. They publish instructional videos about it, about how to optimize it, and how to even code. Of course, I've even coded once, but you know, it was like with the assistance of somebody who knew what they were doing. So my games I usually mod are X4 Foundations and anything by Bethesda. But I will say my first choice in any PC version of Skyrim is if, and I've talked about this before, I know, if I have to listen to that Nord say you're finally awake one more time, I am going to lose my shit. Somebody did a mod, and it's one of my favorites, and it's called Another Life. And what it does, and it's easy to build on this, what it does is it said, okay, what kind of background do you want? Where do you want to start? Are you a vampire in a den? Are you somebody who's a traveler?
So it kind of goes back to the earlier Elder Scrolls games. With its character generation.
Yeah, built for Skyrim, yes.
Right, and right, right. Says, I know, but like if you play like the earlier Elder Scrolls games, when you're making a character, you have to do like a questionnaire or whatever, like you're picking your character before all that.
Plus, you can, what I've done before, to say, okay, I'm a traveler, I stop at an inn, but I'm also going to incorporate this with a mod that allows me to play one of the characters from The Witcher. I don't remember her name, but that is one of my favorite Skyrim mods, and it's called, I don't know if it's still out there, I have it, it's called Another Life, and that's the one I always use first, so I don't have to listen to "Though You're Finally Awake." Don't. Oh my God!
I mean, there is that pillow that I linked from Etsy.
Right. Oh, that's
that
right.
Has.
That's right.
You're
that's
finally right. awake on it.
That's right. Oh my God!
It's spectacular.
It even has his face, and then the caption: "You're finally awake."
The only way around this on Switch is, because it's on everything, is save the game just before they say, okay, we're going to take you off to cut your head off. And then you can use that as a jumping off point. But because there's no way to mod
Switch. Yeah, the Switch doesn't have the mods, which is ridiculous. Like the whole point of playing Skyrim is the
it does and it doesn't.
Oh really?
You can put other, if you jailbreak your Switch, you can put other mods on it. But
you shouldn't do, because
they can
brick it.
I will.
They can brick it.
They can so.
I have noticed when I played. Yes, I got lucky and got a Switch too. I had to put my name in a lottery, and. The new version of Skyrim has a lot of, on Switch 2, has a lot of mods in it from the Bethesda Corporation had in their game you normally have to download. They just added it to the game, which is kind of nice. So they put the mods in for you.
Oh, not bad. Yeah, I've seen.
Yeah, the reason I mentioned it is that if you do anything to your Switch 2, Nintendo can brick it.
Yeah.
If you use one of those MIG things, they can detect you using it and cut your
MIG things.
Cut you off. Yes, the deal is it was this thing that will allow you to take one of your cartridges and duplicate it. And the whole idea was supposed to, air quotes, back up something you already own. Yeah, sure. And the Nintendo Corporation said, the hell you do, and they built it into the Switch 2 that says we can detect it and we will cut your Switch 2 off from the internet permanently.
Maybe that's a good topic. Companies that are openly player hostile.
Well, here's the thing. They are player hostile, but I don't know that it's a good topic for how we're doing things because
yeah,
maybe. Because that puts us in a bad position if we go there.
Yeah, never mind. I always think try and think of topics as we talk. It's like, yeah, that one's probably not very good.
No how to hacking shows, please.
I think I did play Another Life once, and I did enjoy it. Yeah, for like I think it was my second Skyrim run. I tried that one. There's so many good mods for Skyrim. It's like it can totally break your Skyrim. Like I think people have like hundreds and thousands of mods running for their Skyrim installs. Like my God,
yeah, I had about 30 or 40 mods at most.
Yeah, I only had maybe 20 or 30. Like I didn't have too many because I'm like, this is gonna be it's gonna be work just keeping this updated. It's gonna be-
and it's tough to figure out which one conflicts with the other because then you got to do it one at a time.
Yeah, and you got to make sure the load order is right and all that. Yeah, it just got too tedious after a while. But that is a good mod for a good game. Thorsten, you got one?
Okay. I've got to start slowly.
Okay.
I love modding games. The problem is rather that many mods I find usually don't they are not for my liking. Let's put it that way. Okay. Having said that, I've got several games that I have heavily modded, and the first one I want to mention are the Mount & Blade games, and all of them. Because I guess there's not a single Mount & Blade game that I ever played that I haven't heavily modded.
They're very mod friendly. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, that's a plus on the whole game that they were designed that way that you could mod them easily. I even tried to learn a Python about 20 years ago. Yeah, it's around the time 26 or 27, and helped to doing some mods for the early versions of the game. Having that said, I want to mention just one thing. If somebody by chance from the Mount & Blade modding community listens to this podcast, we need a Sword and Sorcery mod for Bannerlord. I mean, come on, guys. The music alone tells you it screams for Sword and Sorcery stuff.
Oh,
that's my take on this.
Do you have like one mod in particular or one set of mods you really like for the Mount & Blade games? Or should I just mention the Mount & Blade games?
I just mentioned the games because I've really have no favorite mod. Probably for the first two ones for Mount & Blade and Warband, the Florist mod, which added a lot of good content.
The Florist? Like a flower person?
Florist. Florist. Floris. It's without a T at the end.
Floris. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just, folks, I'm going to write these. Don't worry, I'm writing these down. So I'm not going to link them, but I'm going to at least list them on the post on spacegamejunkie.com. So we will have a list of the things we're talking about, the very least. So you could search for them yourself. So don't worry. You don't have to worry about remembering all these because I am writing them down. So Floris. Okay. I keep meaning to pick up Bannerlord. I should at some point. Okay.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really fun.
I've heard it's great. I've heard nothing but good things. All right. Blah, 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 blah. Jacob, you got one that you want to mention?
For one mod that I want to specifically mention, that isn't just me bringing up a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to have to go with the XCOM and the Unknown's Longbow.
Oh, the Long War?
Yes, long one specifically for XCOM Enemy Unknown, because the subsequent attempt with XCOM 2 didn't quite work out.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of people who this is the only way they play XCOM, is via the long.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It is a mod for psychopaths, don't get me wrong. It is a mod for insane people. It is a mod for people who saw the original, like the original XCOM games from the 90s and went, what if we made that worse? What if we made that more insane?
Yeah, I looked at it and I'm like, nope, this is not for me. My brain would melt. But I know for a certain type of gamer, it is like one of the best mods.
It does wonderfully take Enemy Unknown's base mechanics, which were really good in the first place, and just decides to just drag them out to their logical insanity. That's the best way I could describe them.
yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a really good one.
I've not played in a very long while because, I mean, it's a game that requires prep.
I was going to say, it looks like it asks a lot of you to play it properly.
Oh, dramatically. It's nuts.
I played it once. I didn't really get through it because I went back to the base game after that.
Yeah, it doesn't look like something like, I'm just going to casually play the Long War this weekend. I'm just going to get a beer. Yeah, no, this is not how the Long War works.
It's a commitment.
It's not called the War of Reasonable Length.
It's not called the Casual War.
It's not called the War that Respects Your Time.
Exactly. It's kind of in the name. It is very much upfront with what it wants, with what it's doing. It is not trying to pretend it's something it's not.
Am I remembering correctly that the folks who did the Long War went on to do Terra
Invicta, yes. Terra Invicta. Which is... Yeah. A game I am very excitedly waiting for the 1.0 release of, and not playing it until then, because God, this game is gonna be a game I play through once to completion and then give up on. And that playthrough is gonna be like 600 hours.
Someone else was talking, I think, while we were trying to talk. Was someone else trying to say something? I think. It sounded like someone else.
I think Thorsten was saying something.
Nope, yeah, nope. I was just enforcing the topic.
Oh, okay. What was said? Okay. All right. Cool. Just to make sure we don't miss anything, because folks, we're not using cameras, because who wants to see that? But so we got to kind of hope and guess that we're hearing each other properly, so we don't step on each other.
Yes. XCOM Long War, for when you want your XCOM to be even more insane.
Yeah, that's a really good. All right, my second mod I want to mention is it's a little confusing. It's called Elite Force for SWAT 4.
No relation to the Star Trek game with the same title.
Nothing to do with the Star Trek, the two Star Trek first-person shooters. Nothing to do with those at all. This game, this mod, because there's basically kind of two SWAT 4s. There's the base game, and then there's the, what the hell is the Stechkov Syndicate? I think that's what it's called. They're kind of two separate thing. Like they don't blend together very well. But what this mod does is it blends them together into one like mega campaign, and does so brilliantly while also streamlining the game a little bit, making it a little better, making the graphics a little better, making it better, run better on modern Windows. If you guys haven't played SWAT 4, it is probably, I think, still the best game of its type. I know there's like Ready for Not and everything. I haven't played it. But from what I've heard and what I could tell, SWAT 4 is probably still the better game. And I think Elite Force makes it, I think, the pinnacle of this particular subgenre of first-person tactical games. Because SWAT 4, the base game, is already like astounding with the command system and the random perps and everything, and people have made all kinds of maps for it and everything already. But the Elite Force just builds on top of an already excellent game to make it a more cohesive and smoother experience overall. And SWAT 4 is not expensive. You can get it on GOG. And if you like first person tactical games where shooting is the last resort, you're supposed to arrest people. Which now in America is like, oh, isn't that adorable? when we thought
insert joke about about historical inaccuracy.
Remember when we thought the cops wanted to arrest people? When that was so cute of us. But no, SWAT 4 is legitimately a great game, and the Elite Force mod is an amazing mod for it. So that's the second one I wanted to mention because it's astounding. Spaz, you got a second one?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So the mod that I'm going to talk about is a mod for Slay the Spire. Now, there are plenty of mods that add new characters, new cards, change up the gameplay in a lot of ways. The one I'm going to mention doesn't do any of that.
Okay.
What it does is it changes all of the cards, not in a gameplay way, in a cosmetic way. It adds googly eyes, animated googly eyes.
God damn it. I was drinking a drink when you said that and almost just lost it all over all my equipment. It adds kook.
Now, it adds googly eyes. Now, not only are all the cards that have faces on them having those eyes replaced with googly eyes, they follow the camera. Wherever the mouse pointer is, they follow it. You're moving your mouse pointer around the screen. Now, it gets better because it's every card. So even the ones that don't, and every character. So you, if you played the game, you run into Neo at the beginning. Neo, the giant whale with multiple eyes. Yes, all of those are googly eyes too. It is one of the best mods that changes nothing about the gameplay.
Oh my god. I mean, I've not played Slay the Spire. It looks like I'm not sure if it's a kind of game for me personally.
It requires more planning than you are capable of.
Yeah.
But I'd say that not as a knock against the game, but as an acknowledgement of your liabilities and capabilities.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. No, it's not a knock against the game. It's knowing my own limitations. But at the same time, like if I ever see it on deep sale, I might get it just for this mod because this looks astounding.
I mean, you could see in the store page, you could see Neo with six eyes. You know, the six-eyed Neo having three eyes being googly. All the cards that are changed, even the artifacts that changed, googly eyes that will follow the mouse pointer. And that is all it does. But it works with every card.
Okay, that's that is okay. I'm gonna
it is the silliest thing. It is the silliest thing, and there are people who have said in the comments that it is the best mod ever created because that is all it does.
You guys,
it changes no gameplay whatsoever.
You guys, I somehow own the game. I don't know how, but I somehow have.
You probably got it in a bundle.
Yeah, I probably got it in a bundle. So I'm subscribing to it requires another mod the Spire or something like that. But yeah, subscribed, done. Yeah,
okay. Mod the Spire is it's basically a mod loader that you can access, and it's because some mods have dependencies. But if you're only using this and Mod the Spire, you're fine.
Oh.
Yeah. Easy modding, very easy modding. And if you need gameplay tip, you can ask me because I have many, many hours to play this fire. I mean, 642 hours in Slay the Spire. So, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is utterly fantastic. this is a great mod. This is why mods exist, so you can do silly shit like this. Oh, folks, if you're in the chat, go follow the link. But if not, go just look up Slay the Spire googly eyes. It's like it's on Steam, and holy cats,
it's so insane, and sometimes you forget that it's sometimes you'll forget that the mod is actually active. and then you'll notice the eyes moving.
Yeah. It's very highly rated. A lot of people. Oh wow, five stars, 1,200 ratings.
5 stars, 1,200 ratings. Yep. Wow,
that's
with good reason.
I love this is the kind of shit I love mods for. It's like the simplest, silliest thing, but it's just this is so creative. I wish I was this creative. It's just such a brilliant and simple idea. Ah, love it. That's wonderful. Wonderful. I'm still laughing at it. I'm still laughing. Okay, calm down. I'm going to have to install this game and try it out now because I apparently somehow own it. All right, Julie, you got another one?
Yes, I do. And I will preface this by saying that, you know, you uploaded a lot of mods for X4. Mm-hmm. I did an arena combat mod for Fallout 3 where there's a spaceship one where you could fight anything you wanted. But since we're talking about mods that are simple little things, that just a little touch of something that makes the world seem better. Mm-hmm. One of the things that irks me to no end in Skyrim is when you walk in and it's like, I defeat dragons on a regular basis. I am the dragonborn. And I'm like wearing dragon bone armor and some dumbass guard says, oh, let me guess, somebody stole your sweet roll. There's a mod out there. There's a lot of different versions, but one's called Just Desserts. I looked it up. And what it does is when the guard says, let me guess, somebody stole your sweet roll, the guard bursts into a pile of sweet rolls. And I said, take that, USOB. And that's one of my favorites. That and the one with a guy from when you go to Whiterun, the guy says, oh, have you gone out to the Cloud District? I guess not. I said, oh, well, you're aloof now because your house is 5 feet above everybody else's. And as soon as he says Cloud District, he blasts up into the clouds. And I don't remember what that one's called. Look it up.
Skyrim is a great showcase for the serious and the silly. Probably one of their finest games. Hi, Yee, did I say your name right in the YouTube chat? Yeah, this is a mod for Free Space 2 called Diaspora, which is a Battlestar Galactica 2004 mod, which is absolutely astounding. Like, this is I wish it would be finished someday. I don't think it's ever going to be. But just to fly around in a Viper in this kind of fight between Battlestar and your base and a couple of base stars with all the flak and everything. Just, it's amazing. All right. One of the many, many mods for Free Space 2. Okay. Thorsten, do you have a second one?
Indeed. Indeed. But I'm talking again, about a game series and, both Oolite and Pioneer.
Okay.
Both are games that are based on the first two real Elite games.
Yes.
And I highly recommend both games, and they are free for, by the way. In my opinion, they are better than the current Elite Dangerous.
They absolutely are.
So it may change because it seems that that the current dev team of Elite Dangerous is respecting the game a bit more and the game world. And let's see what happens. There's a chance that they might beat a Star Citizen. But it's a small chance, but it is given. Both Oolite and Pioneer are easily moddable, mm-hmm, and there's quite an interesting mod community working on both games. And I mention both games because basically it's the same people that are working on it.
Oh, really?
At least a part of both teams that are working on the games are the same people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a pretty fascinating thing.
That's great.
I don't have any specific mod I would pick in both games.
It's interesting. Sorry to interrupt. I just loaded up Ulite because I was talking about Frontier for another podcast, and they recommend there are like some recommended mods they tell you about in the game. Like you can download these mods inside the game. I don't know if Pioneer has the same in-game mod download capability. I don't think it does. But just to clarify, folks, Ulite is like a fan-made update of the first Elite, and Pioneer is a fan-made update of the second Elite, Frontier. Just so you know which one you want to go for. If you want to go for like OG Elite, you want to go for Ulite. If you want to go for Frontier, you go for Pioneer. Because let's be honest, they're pretty different games, honestly. But yeah, they both have great modding communities. But Ulite has mods. Like when I install, they're like, "Hey, do you want to install some of these newcomer mods?" I'm like, "Sure, absolutely, do it."
Right.
Yeah, and it did it right in the game. Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Okay, yeah. That was it from my side.
All right, no, those are terrific and free. I can't recommend them enough. If you're like, why is Elite Dangerous kind of suck? And oh, and Chris,
again, it might be better.
Yeah, no, it is. Oh, Elite Dangerous. I don't know. Chris, you're not the only one who is kind of down on the 2004 Battlestar Galactica reboot. I loved it, and then it turned, and now I'm still angry about it. And so
I am of the firm belief that it's an excellent two seasons of space opera.
Two seasons and four episodes.
Yep.
Two seasons and four episodes.
Yeah.
Because once they get off a new Caprica, it's like a different show. It's like a different, worse show. It just
falls off a cliff.
It does. Now,
to be fair, to be somewhat fair, the writer's strike had a lot to do with that.
I know.
Ending up the way it did.
But God.
But I see your point.
Yeah.
I agree with you. They didn't actually have a plan.
No, they didn't. They had no plan at all. The ending for that show, I'm still like, what the? I'm still angry about it. Like, what did I just watch? What is this?
Doesn't that show end with like Mormonism origin story nonsense?
The original had very heavy Mormon influences in it. That they were supposed to be this exodus, like the Mormon exodus is the idea that they were going with originally. And then all these other ideas got kind of glommed onto it in order to kind of soften the message, soften the symbolism of it. And some of that did carry over into the reboot.
Yeah. But it's such a shame because, like, for a while it was like must-see TV. It was like, I was obsessed with it. And then I was like,
same.
And then eventually I'm like, I'm falling asleep through some of the later episodes. I'm scratching my head. Like the boxing episode, you guys, the boxing episode, like what the effity F. And I fell asleep through the strike episode. I think that was the one. So yeah, just so yeah, but this mod is great.
So let's just say we have mixed feelings about the show, but the games that are based on it, for the most part, are good.
Now the
especially Battlestar Galactica Deadlock.
Yeah. Now the 2003 game I mentioned for the PS2 and the Xbox, that's based on the original Battlestar Galactica series, because the new one hadn't come out yet. And it's like, you're like, how could they make a detailed space simulator on a gamepad? They did. It's an amazing. Yep. Amazing, very hard, very challenging game, but very good. It's probably, I think, maybe the best space dogfighter on console, in my opinion. Rebel Galaxy Outlaw exists on console, but it's up there. Not that there's a lot to choose from. I mean, what do you got? Colony Wars? But yeah, the OG Battlestar Galactica game from Warthog, I believe it was, the same folks who did Star Lancer, is really good if you want to track that down. Absolutely, absolutely worth it. All right, Jacob, you got one to finish us up?
So one more mod. If we can go like go back, actually, how do I say this? I do want to bring up something.
Okay.
And that's one of the zillions of high quality mods for the Stalker series, which I'm mostly doing because all the other games I've played with mods, with major mods, have already been mentioned in some capacity. But Stalker, specifically Stalker, typically called Pripyat, because that's the most recent. That's the most recent of the older ones, has amassed a humongous quantity of mods.
That legitimately
turned the game into completely insane stuff. Some of the best survival gameplay you'll get in gaming period will come from Stalker 1 mods.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to play Escape from Tarkov, but actually good? There's mods for that. In fact, there's a lot of mods to make just Escape from Tarkov, but actually fun and enjoyable.
That's good. That's good.
For the record, I didn't pick the mods just to make a dig at Eddie FT, but I am going to do that anyway.
Okay.
Because god damn it, that game sucks.
Oh no.
Do you know, by the way, minor tangent, do you know that they are asking you to pay extra for single player?
Wait, what? No.
They have released a single player mod. A single player version of Escape from Tarkov that you have to buy that in order to play it, you have to buy the like $90 super ultra mega edition.
What?
For some inane reason.
What?
What? Come on. No. What?
So yeah, to summarize, go play either modded Stalker Call of Pripyat or Stalker 2, which doesn't really have a lot of mods yet because it only got a modding kit in like 2 weeks ago.
Oh wow!
But yeah. even completely vanilla, it's absolutely spectacular.
Is there a specific mod for Call of Pripyat that you want to mention, or should I just?
I think the one that I would say is, let me think about this, because there's, the thing is there are less mods and more mod packs, and the one that I think most people have heard of is Stalker Gamma.
Okay.
Which comes with a, it's Stalker Gamma and Stalker Anomaly. These are two similar in principle, but dramatically different mod packs.
Okay.
I don't know which one would be better for a new player. I cannot answer that question, sadly. But they are both very extensively well-developed mod packs with dozens of mods each that are somehow managing to make that positively ancestral engine not completely explode at every given minute. Oh. Instead, it's more like every other minute, but that's sort of standard.
Oh, well, I'm not going to play it because I tried one of the Stalker games and it like gave me nightmares. So I'm not going to play it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It is a game that can and will cause you nightmares.
Oh, God, it freaked me. Like, I had to walk away from the computer at one point. Like, I shut it down and I didn't look at a screen for like 20 minutes because it just scared the bejesus. The last game to do that before that was like System Shock 2, like just scared the crap out of me. Like, yeah, no, I know a lot of people love those games, but I am not one of them. So folks, I want to throw one out real quick just before we wrap up. It's called VCMI. I've mentioned it before. It's more of a launcher than a mod, but it allows you to play Heroes of Might and Magic 3 on like on Linux or an Android device or an iOS device. but it also has mod support built in, so you can download a bunch of mods to Heroes of Might and Magic 3. And it's free. All you need to do is own, like, not the HD one that's on Steam, but the one from, like, GOG. That's the one you got to get. And so that one, I've been playing. The two most played games on my tablet are Heroes of Might and Magic 3 and F-117A Stealth Fighter. Because of these amazing mods and the way people, yeah?
If I may, I found the mod that I wrote, one of the ones I found out there. It's called Mothership Zeta Reloaded City in Space. Oh. And the last thing I did for it is it's for Fallout 3, and it was called Dr. Death's Arena of Pain, I added, which is the combat thing.
All right, I will add that to the list as well.
I put everything in the podcast green room. Right. That's for Fallout 3.
That's for Fallout 3. Okay, great. Thank you. All right. So, yeah, I know, Chris. No, I completely, because side note, I was trying to use a thing called Winlater, which is a Windows emulator for Android to get Heroes of Might and Magic 3 to run. That was like one of the first games I wanted to get running on my tablet. And then you told me about VCMI. I'm like, like the heavens shone and sang at me from above. Like, if you love Heroes of Might and Magic 3, that is a must have. Even if you're just running it on Windows, the fact that it could enhance your game through mods and map packs and everything, just worth it. That's going to wrap it up, cause we have a hard stop in a few minutes. So, next week, we're going to talk about another topic from Chris here, spiritual successors. I won't say any examples. I'll save them for the show. We're going to talk about spiritual successors, not just in space games, though we'll probably focus on space games at least, but games that developers who loved a game and were like, I want to make one like that. And how else do you describe a spiritual success? And tomorrow we'll be returning to Star Valor unless something happens, like another tsunami. So thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks the chat. Great chat today. Again, these mods will all be listed on the post on spacegamejunkie.com when the MP3 goes up tomorrow. So you hope you didn't feel like you had to write anything down. So thanks for hanging out with us. Be safe, be well, take care of each other. Please get all your shots, get vaccinated, get checked out by a doctor while you can, if you can, because catching things like sleep apnea and whatnot is important. Like, apparently everyone has sleep apnea almost. So if you snore,
whole thing.
Yeah. If you snore, get checked out. Seriously. I am like the biggest sleep apnea advocate you will ever meet. thank you as always to our patrons for helping pay for things like Restream, so we can all chat to each other and I could stream to multiple platforms relatively easily. Don't forget to check out retrodogfight.com. The next episode will be dropping in a couple of days, which I believe is focusing on the early Microprose Ace games like Hellcat Ace and Spitfire Ace. And don't forget to wear your helmet. We'll see you back here tomorrow, friends. Have a great one. Bye-bye.